Chapter 3. The crepe man stood rooted to the spot, dumb with astonishment. Both men stood opposite one another on the landing, and both stared in each other's eyes, silent and motionless. So passed a few moments, and suddenly, like a flash of lightning, Velchaninoff became aware of the identity of his guest. At the same moment, the latter seemed to guess that Velchaninoff had recognized him. Velchaninoff could see it in his eyes. In one instant, the visitor's whole face was all ablaze with its very sweetest of smiles. "Surely I have the pleasure of speaking to Alexei Ivanovich," he asked, in the most dulcet of tones, comically inappropriate to the circumstances of the case. "Surely you are Pavel Pavlovich Trusotsky?" asked Velchaninoff in return, after a pause, and with an expression of much perplexity. "I had the pleasure of your acquaintance 10 years ago at tea, and, if I may remind you of the fact, we were almost intimate friends." "Quite so. Oh, yes. But it is now 3 o'clock in the morning, and you have been trying my lock for the last 10 minutes." 3 o'clock," cried the visitor, looking at his watch with an air of melancholy surprise. "Why, so it is. Dear me, 3 o'clock. Forgive me, Alexei Ivanovich. I ought to have found it out before thinking of paying you a visit. I will do myself the honour of calling to explain another day. And now I—" "Oh, no! Oh, no! If you are to explain at all, let's have it at once, this moment," interrupted Velchaninoff warmly. "Kindly step in here, into the room. You must have meant to come in, you know. You didn't come here at night like this simply for the pleasure of trying my lock." He felt excited, and at the same time was conscious of a sort of timidity. He could not collect his thoughts. He was ashamed of himself for it. There was no danger, no mystery about the business, nothing but the silly figure of Pavel Pavlovich. And yet he could not feel satisfied that there was nothing particular in it. He felt afraid of something to come. He knew not what or when. However, he made the man enter, seated him in a chair, and himself sat down on the side of his bed a yard or so off, and rested his elbows on his knees while he quietly waited for the other to begin. He felt irritated. He stared at his visitor and let his thoughts run. Strangely enough, the other never opened his mouth. He seemed to be entirely oblivious of the fact that it was his duty to speak. Nay, he was even looking inquiringly at Velchaninoff, as though quite expecting that the latter would speak to him. Perhaps he felt a little uncomfortable at first, somewhat as a mouse must feel when he finds himself unexpectedly in the trap. Velchaninoff very soon lost his patience. "Well," he cried, "you are not a fantasy or a dream of anything of that kind, are you? You aren't a corpse, are you? Come, my friend, this is not a game or play. I want your explanation, please." The visitor fidgeted about a little, smiled, and began to speak cautiously. "So far as I can see," he said, "the time of night of my visit is what surprises you, and that I should have come as I did. In fact, when I remember the past and our intimacy and all of that, I am astonished myself. But the fact is, I did not mean to come in at all, and if I did so, it was purely an accident."
"An accident? Why, I saw you creeping across the road on tiptoes."
"You saw me? Indeed. Come, then you know as much or more about the matter than I do. But I see I am annoying you. This is how it was. I've been in town 3 weeks or so on business. I am Pavel Pavlovich Trusotsky. You recognized me yourself. My business in town is to effect an exchange of departments. I am trying for a situation in another place, one with a large increase of salary. But all this is beside the point. The fact of the matter is, I believe I have been delaying my business on purpose. I believe if everything was settled at this moment, I should still be dawdling in this St. Petersburg of yours in my present condition of mind. I go wandering about as though I had lost all interest in things, and were rather glad of the fact in my present condition of mind."
"What condition of mind?" asked Velchaninoff, frowning.
The visitor raised his eyes to Velchaninoff's, lifted his hat from the ground beside him, and with great dignity pointed out the black crepe band.
"There, sir, in that condition of mind," he observed.
Velchaninoff stared stupidly at the crepe, and thence at the man's face. Suddenly his face flushed up in a hot blush for a moment, and he was violently agitated.
"Not Natalia Vasilievna, surely?"
"Yes, Natalia Vasilievna. Last March. Consumption, sir. And almost suddenly. All over in 2 or 3 months. And here am I, left as you see me."
So saying, Pavel Pavlovich, with much show of feeling, bent his bald head down and kept it bent for some 10 seconds, while he held out his 2 hands, in one of which was the hat with the band in explanatory emotion. This gesture and the man's whole air seemed to brighten Velchaninoff up. He smiled sarcastically for one instant, not more at present, for the news of this lady's death. He had known her so long ago, and had forgotten her many a year since, had made a quite unexpected impression in his mind.
"Is it possible?" he muttered,
using the first words that came to his lips. "And pray why did you not come here and tell me at once?"
"Thanks for your kind interest. I see and value it. In spite of—"
"In spite of what?"
"In spite of so many years of separation, you at once sympathized with my sorrow, and in fact with myself, and so fully, too, that I feel naturally grateful. That's all I had to tell you, sir. Don't suppose I doubt my friends, you know. Why, even here in this place I could put my finger on several very sincere friends indeed. For instance, Stepan Mikhailovich Bagantov. But remember, my dear Alexei Ivanovich, 9 years have passed since we were acquaintances, or friends, if you'll allow me to say so, and meanwhile you have never been to see us, never written."
The guest sang all this out as though he were reading it from music, but kept his eyes fixed on the ground the while, although, of course, he saw what was going on above his eyelashes exceedingly well all the same. Velchaninoff had found his head by this time. With a strange sort of fascinated attention, which strengthened itself every moment, he continued to gaze at and listen to Pavel Pavlovich, and all of a sudden, when the latter stopped speaking, a flood of curious ideas swept unexpectedly through his brain. "But look here," he cried. "How is it that I never recognized you all this while? We've met 5 times at least in the streets."
"Quite so. I am perfectly aware of the circumstance. You chanced to meet me 2 or 3 times and—"
"No, no, you met me, you know, not I you." Velchaninoff suddenly burst into a roar of laughter and rose from his seat. Pavel Pavlovich paused a moment, looked keenly at Velchaninoff, and then continued.
"As to your not recognizing me, in the first place you might easily have forgotten me by now, and besides I have had smallpox since last we met, and I dare say my face is a good deal marked."
"Smallpox? Why, how did you manage that?"
"He has had it, though, by Jove," cried Velchaninoff. "What a funny fellow you are! However, go on, don't stop."
Velchaninoff's spirits were rising higher and higher. He was beginning to feel wonderfully light-hearted. That feeling of agitation, which had lately so disturbed him, had given place to quite a different sentiment. He now began to stride up and down the room very quickly.
"I was going to say," resumed Pavel Pavlovich, "that though I have met you several times, and though I quite intended to come and look you up when I was arranging my visit to Petersburg, still I was in that condition of mind, you know, and my wits have so suffered since last March that—"
"Wits since last March? Yes, go on. Wait a minute. Do you smoke?"
"Oh, you know, Natalia Vasilievna never—"
"Quite so. But since March, eh?"
"Well, I might a cigarette or so."
"Here you are, then. Light up and go on.
Go on. You interest me wonderfully.
Velchaninov lit a cigar and sat down on his bed again. Pavel Pavlovich paused a moment.
"But what a state of agitation you seem to be in yourself," said he. "Are you quite well?"
"Oh, curse my health," cried Velchaninov. "You go on."
The visitor observed his host's agitation with satisfaction. He went on with his share of the talking with more confidence.
"What am I to go on about?" he asked. "Imagine me, Alexey Ivanovitch, a broken man. Not simply broken, but gone at the root, as it were. A man forced to change his whole manner of living, after 20 years of married life, wandering about the dusty roads without an object, mind lost, almost oblivious of his own self, and yet, as it were, taking some sort of intoxicated delight in his loneliness. Isn't it natural that if I should, at such a moment of self-forgetfulness, come across a friend, even a dear friend, I might prefer to avoid him for that moment? And isn't it equally natural that at another moment I should long to see and speak with someone who has been an eye-witness of, or a partaker, so to speak, in my never-to-be-recalled past, and to rush, not only in the day, but at night, if it so happens, to rush to the embrace of such a man? Yes, even if one has to wake him up at 3 in the morning to do it. I was wrong in my time, not in my estimate of my friend, though, for at this moment I feel the full rapture of success. My rash action has been successful. I have found sympathy. As for the time of night, I confess I thought it was not 12 yet. You see, one sups of grief, and it intoxicates me. At least, not grief exactly. It's more the condition of mind, the new state of things that affects me."
"Dear me, how oddly you express yourself," said Velchaninov, rising from his seat once more and becoming quite serious again.
"Oddly, do I?
Perhaps.
Look here, are you joking?"
"Joking?"
cried Pavel Pavlovich in shocked surprise.
"Joking? At the very moment when I am telling you of—"
"Oh, be quiet about that, for goodness sake." Velchaninov started off on his journey up and down the room again. So matters stood for 5 minutes or so. The visitor seemed inclined to rise from his chair, but Velchaninov bade him sit still, and Pavel Pavlovich obediently flopped into his seat again.
"How changed you are!"
said the host at last, stopping in front of the other chair, as though suddenly struck with the idea.
"Fearfully changed! Wonderful! You're quite another man!"
"That's hardly surprising. 9 years, sir."
"No, no, no. Years have nothing to do with it. It's not in appearance you are so changed, it's something else."
"Well, sir, the 9 years might account for anything.
Perhaps it's only since March, eh?"
"You are playful, sir," said Pavel Pavlovich, laughing slyly. "But if I may ask it, wherein am I so changed?"
"Oh, why, you used to be such a staid, sober, correct Pavel Pavlovich, such a wise Pavel Pavlovich. And now you're a good-for-nothing sort of Pavel Pavlovich."
Velchaninov was in that state of irritation when the steadiest, gravest people will sometimes say rather more than they mean.
"Good-for-nothing, am I? And wise no longer, I suppose, eh?"
chuckled Pavel Pavlovich with disagreeable satisfaction.
"Wise indeed. My dear sir, I am afraid you are not sober," replied Velchaninov, and added to himself, "I am pretty fairly insolent myself, but I can't compare with this little cad. And what on earth is the fellow driving at?"
"Oh, my dear, good, my best of Alexey Ivanovitch's," said the visitor suddenly, most excitedly, and twisting about on his chair. "And why should I be sober? We are not moving in the brilliant walks of society, you and I, just now. We are but two dear old friends, come together in the full sincerity of perfect love, to recall and talk over that sweet mutual tie of which the dear departed formed so treasured a link in our friendship."
So saying, the sensitive gentleman became so carried away by his feelings
that he bent his head down once more to hide his emotion and buried his face in his hat. Velchaninov looked on with an uncomfortable feeling of disgust. "I can't help thinking the man is simply silly," he thought. "And yet, no, no. His face is so red he must be drunk. But drunk or not drunk, what does the little wretch want with me? That's the puzzle. Do you remember, or don't you remember, our delightful little evenings, dancing sometimes, or sometimes literary, at Simeon Simeonovich's?" continued the visitor, gradually removing his hat from before his face and apparently growing more and more enthusiastic over the memories of the past. "And our little readings, you and she and myself, and our first meeting, when you came in to ask for information about something connected with your business in the town, and commenced shouting angrily at me. Don't you remember? When suddenly in came Natalia Vasilievna, and within 10 minutes you were our dear friend, and so remained for exactly a year. Just like Turgenev's story, the Provincialka." Velchaninov had continued his walk up and down the room during this tirade, with his eyes on the ground, listening impatiently and with disgust, but listening hard all the same. "It never struck me to think of the Provincialka in connection with the matter," he interrupted. "And look here. Why do you talk in that sneaking, whining sort of voice? You never used to do that. Your whole manner is unlike yourself." "Quite so, quite so. I used to be more silent, I know. I used to love to listen while others talked. You remember how well the dear departed talked, the wit and grace of her conversation. As to the Provincialka, I remember she and I used often to compare your friendship for us to certain episodes in that piece, and especially to the doings of one Stupendieff. It really was remarkably like that character and his doings." "What Stupendieff do you mean, confound it all?" cried Velchaninov, stamping his foot with rage. The name seemed to have evoked certain most irritating thoughts in his mind. "Why, Stupendieff, don't you know? The husband in Provincialka," whined Pavel Pavlovich in the very sweetest of tones. "But that belongs to another set of fond memories. After you departed, in fact. When Mr. Bagantov had honoured us with his friendship, just as you had done before him, only that his lasted 5 whole years. Bagantov? What Bagantov? Do you mean that same Bagantov who was serving down in your town? Why, he also, yes, yes, quite so. He also," cried the enthusiastic Pavel Pavlovich, seizing upon Velchaninov's accidental slip. "Of course. So that there you are. There's the whole company. Bagantov played the count, the dear departed was the Provincialka, and I was the husband, only that the part was taken away from me. For incapacity, I suppose." "Yes. Fancy you a Stupendieff. You're first a Pavel Pavlovich Trusotsky," said Velchaninov contemptuously and very unceremoniously. "But look here. Bagantov is in town. I know he is, for I have seen him. Why don't you go see him as well as myself?" "My dear sir, I've been there every day for the last 3 weeks. He won't receive me. He's ill and can't receive. And do you know, I have found out that he really is very ill. Fancy my feelings. A 5 years friend. Oh, my dear Alexei Ivanovich, you don't know what my feelings are in my present condition of mind. I assure you, at one moment I long for the earth to open and swallow me up, and the next I feel that I must find one of those old friends, eyewitnesses of the past, as it were, if only to weep on his bosom. Only to weep, sir. Give you my word."
"Well, that's about enough for tonight, don't you think so?" said Velchaninov cuttingly.
"Oh, too much," cried the other, rising. "It must be 4 o'clock, and here am I agitating your feelings in the most selfish way. Now look here, I shall call upon you myself, and I hope that you will then—but tell me honestly,
Are you drunk tonight?
Drunk?
Not the least in the world. Did you drink nothing before you came here, or earlier?
Do you know, my dear Alexei Ivanovitch, you are quite in a high fever.
Good night. I shall call tomorrow.
And I have noticed it all the evening.
Really, quite delirious, continued Pavel Pavlovich, licking his lips, as it were, with satisfaction as he pursued this theme.
I am really quite ashamed that I should have allowed myself to be so awkward as to agitate you.
Well, well, I'm going. Now you must lie down at once and go to sleep.
You haven't told me where you live, shouted Velchaninov after him as he left the room.
Oh, didn't I? Pokrovsky Hotel.
Pavel Pavlovich was out on the stairs now.
Stop, cried Velchaninov once more. You are not running away, are you?
How do you mean, running away? Asked Pavel Pavlovich, turning round at the third step and grinning back at him, with his eyes staring very wide open. Instead of replying, Velchaninov banged the door fiercely, locked and bolted it, and went fuming back into his room. Arrived there, he spat on the ground, as though to get rid of the taste of something loathsome. He then stood motionless for at least 5 minutes in the centre of the room, after which he threw himself upon his bed and fell asleep in an instant. The forgotten candle burnt itself out in its socket.